feet. Father.
Your father.
Brother.
Brother.
Mother.
Well-wishers.
Well-wishers.
And sons.
And sons.
Are all dead and passed away.
Are all dead and passed away.
You yourself have expended the major portion of your life.
You yourself have extended the major portion of your life.
Your body is now overtaken by invalidity.
Your body is now overtaken by validity.
You are living in the home of another.
You are living in the home of another.
So, Prevost, if we could please mute ourselves at this time. I'm going to mute everybody on free conferencing.
The king is reminded of his precarious condition, influenced by cruel time, by his past experience. He should have been more intelligent to see what was going on, what was going to happen in his own life. I'm going to interject a couple things here. On Saturday, we had different devotees speak different things, and we have Achyutananda was here, and he had all these quotes. Like he said, 1,000 quotes, but he only had 3 minutes, so he said a couple different ones. And one that I remembered, I thought was quite humorous. A devotee asked Prabhupada, how do you tell the mind from the intelligence? And since this line we just read, it says you should have been more intelligent. So it reminded me of that. So Prabhupada told him, he says, picture yourself on the top of a very high building looking over. He says, the mind says, jump. And the intelligence says, don't jump. So I thought that was kind of cute. Anyway, so the mind, it says, keep living, but his intelligence should have seen what was going to happen in his own life. His father, Vijitavirya, died long ago when he was, and his younger brothers were still little children, and it was due to the care and kindness of Bhishma Dev that he was properly brought up. Then again, his brother Pandu died also. Then in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, his 100 sons and his grandsons all died, along with other well-wishers like Bhishma Dev, Dronacharya, Karna, and many other kings and friends. So we stop there for just a moment and consider. He's blind, he's dependent. And now, you know, when your father dies, you feel something. Mother, your brother, your son, that's very traumatic when the child dies before the parents. Well-wishers, everybody he knows. And this is a heavy life right now. Everybody, he's been defeated. Doris pointing out that they're all dead. Everybody's dead. They're all dead. So he had lost all men and money, and now he was living at the mercy of his nephew, whom he had put into troubles in various types, And despite all these reverses, he thought that he would prolong his life more and more. Dora wanted to point out to Dhritarashtra that everyone has to protect himself by his action and the grace of the Lord. I'm going to read that again. Dora wanted to point out to Dhritarashtra, and of course us too now, that everyone has to protect himself. Prabhupada calls it fly your own plane. By his action and the grace of the Lord. One has to execute his duty faithfully, depending for the result on the supreme authority. No friend, no children, no father, no brother, no state, no one else. protect a person who is not protected by the Supreme Lord. We remember that little saying, Rake Krishna More Ke, More Krishna Rake Ke. Little, if Krishna protects you, who can harm you? And if Krishna says it's time to go, who can save you? One should therefore seek the protection of the Supreme Lord, for the human form of life is meant for seeking that protection. He was warned by his precarious conditions more and more by the following words. Om Adhyanatminandasya Gyanatina Salakaya Chaksusmaritanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jaitam Sarito Pangur Mamamanda Matergati Mat Sarvasra Padambo Jo Radha Madhina Mohano Sri Radhi Kapanaya Mahima Avagrahi Janardhan. Some of my favorite reminders. So in here we can immediately recall how Prabhupada says that a sadhu is one who cuts away our material attachments. So here, some of the other words that we've all been fortunate enough to learn by associating with the devotees, the society. As Prabhupada had coined so many terms for us, and one of them is called fallible soldiers. So these fallible soldiers, we're all thinking will give us some protection. So this in this life, we turn to them, but of course, I'm going to get back to that point again. I was just remembering, I'd like to establish, just like in the last couple of classes, I put this into a structure of for our chanting, improving our chanting. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kaloa Nasteva, 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 Gatir Nyata. So this verse also applies to us, and just like it mentioned here, everyone has to protect himself by his action and the grace of the Lord. So we're getting the grace right now by hearing, and to recamp on that point again, that illusion comes from inattentiveness while hearing, and then when one is in that illusion, he accepts the senses as the authority, and that makes everything he sees a mistake. Probably say 2 + 2 = 5. Where can you go with that? Every equation after that's going to be wrong. If you're doing a long equation, start with that. It's all wrong. And then you're cheated, and you're going to cheat others by repeating that information. So in the types of inattention, one is a distraction. And one of the biggest distractions is these fallible soldiers that give you a false confidence that things are all right. And then in the Bhagavad Gita, was it near the end? I think it's 1867. Krishna says, this confidential knowledge may not be explained to those who are not austere, devoted, or engaged in devotional service, nor one who's envious of me. They can't understand it. So this connection that we're making with Krishna, we become distracted in those types of inattention. One is a distraction. And this distraction, I was thinking about it yesterday and last week when Indra, he was distracted in his service. And then Dhruva Maharaj gave a very nice class, and he was reading some parts from the Gopal Champu. And there was one part he was talking about that there was pride in Indra, that Krishna arranged his whole pastime to curb his pride. So I was thinking about that for a moment, because this pride, it stops us from hearing, and it's connected to the fallible soldiers. I know sometimes we used to use the word yes man, somebody who reinforces your pride, reinforces your authority. And with Indra, certainly he had that opportunity. He was surrounded by many people that were interested in getting some benefit from him. Please, demigod worshippers, you know, if you do something. But he was simply to act as an instrument for Krishna. He got to that post, he's very elevated, that he understands like for instance, the tax collector, he handles so much money for the government, and he's given a nice salary. But if he notices that no one really checks on me, and I'm handling all this money, it wouldn't be difficult to arrange it so that I could embezzle this money and still give the most of it. But after a while, this mentality, it grows. We discussed this in the past. And of course, the Bhagavad Gita, there's also another point about this, and it's all related to pride, and the pride's related to not hearing. And the not hearing is part of the inattention to us chanting and maintaining a constant connection to Krishna. This is the point that I'm trying to make, perhaps, if I can sort it out enough, that we're always to have this connection with Krishna. And we become inattentive to it, and that's when all the problems start. So, just like Krishna, Lord Chaitanya says, that verse, he says that one, he should kirtanya sadahari, he should always remain connected to Krishna. This is a reality. This is our reality. The only thing that has us think that we're not connected to Krishna, that's Maya. Maya makes you think you're not connected. Or the demigods are not connected, or that not everything that's taking place in your life is not connected. Krishna, he's sarvakarna karnam, he's the cause of all causes, he's directing the wanderings of every living entity. No one is independent of Krishna. But to remain in this condition, one has to be in a humble state of mind and tolerant so he can maintain this connection, this internal connection with Krishna. Sometimes it's called pragya. Prajna. It's used a lot in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita in different ways. And this is a connection that we have. But when pride comes, you can't really hear correctly because you already know. You already know practically everything. So who can tell you anything? So then that ups the condition of what's required to get your attention. And just like with Indra, it was quite a elaborate situation created to get Indra's attention, because he had embezzled all. When I was a little kid, we used to have a game called the hot potato, and they would take a potato out of the oven and they would throw it to somebody. So as soon as you got the potato, what would you have to do with that potato? Imagine someone throws you a 400-degree potato. What are you going to do with it when you catch it? You have to throw it very quickly. If you don't, you would get injured. So everything that's being offered in proper order, the respect and information that you're giving, you're carrying the instructions of Krishna. So they give you the respect. You know, such a nice thing to say. But very quickly, we could see with Prabhupada, they would say, oh, you've done so much, Srila Prabhupada. He immediately would say, I simply carried out the order of my spiritual master. So in that way, I saw he was also good at hot potato. And this is just, it's not artificial. This is the humility. This is the natural condition of staying connected to Krishna. But when one gets distracted, it comes as a package, just like this verse 244, Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, verse 44. in the minds that are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence. And then the next word was always interesting, the way that it says it, apahrita chetasam, bewildered in his mind. And bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. So we've been understanding that with this opulence, this is given to the person to facilitate his service. It's not specifically done with for him to enjoy. It kind of goes along with it. But if he notices it, becomes attached to it, and bewildered in his mind, he loses that internal connection. Now, from our side, we're just in Maya. But from Krishna's side, somebody just turned against you. You know, they're taking your what belongs to you. So that's also one definition of envy. And Krishna, of course, he's Atmarama, but still, part and parcel, we embezzle what's Krishna's for ourselves. Isha Vaisi Dham Sarvam. Everything is owned and controlled by Krishna. Well, he gives us things for our service, and then if we enjoy that too much, then a type of pride comes in that I'm actually, Indra, he thought, I'm actually the controller, I'm actually the enjoyer. When the nutshell verses were spoken in the Bhagavatam, the prelude for that was that Brahma said, I don't want to lose that connection. That connection is our most dear consciousness, is that we're connected to our dear friend, we're in reality, we can be happy, but a little inattention, we can get caught. We're the marginal potency, so this whole material energy, if we bezel, we take Krishna's energy, we get covered. And here, with Dhritarashtra, he had already lost everything that's near and dear. Everything. He wasn't specifically considered a devotee. The path that he left what to do wasn't specifically devotional service. There's different ways of transcending. Some are called Dhira, and some are called Narottama, the best. But the Dhira, he could understand that. He could see what's going on. He could perform mystic activity, mystic yoga. He could purify himself like that. So this material energy, it's very tricky. And to maintain this consciousness of how to keep that connection with Krishna, that's the most essential point. So we talk about the offenses and as a list. It's a list of things that we know we shouldn't do. And if we don't do them, then it'll be good for us. But they need to take more and more time to expand it. That's the only thing that's keeping us from experiencing pure love in our heart constantly, by associating with Krishna. And what each pastime, it has these elements in there to, once again, when you're chanting, when you're hearing with rapt attention, that connection can be made, but we let it slip into a distraction, usually by either pride or fallible soldiers. These are very powerful distractions, because it puts us back into the bodily concept of life, and how to deal with that is the process of the Bhagavad Gita. Actually, in the near the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he explains this so nicely. I'm going to start it. Let's see. Just like Krishna's saying, we're asking, how can we keep this connection and not get influenced by the distractions. This Kirtanya Sadhari, to give up the 10 offenses, to go through the clearing stage, and then there's Shudanam, Bhavanam, Premanam. This is what we're striving for with all the intelligence that we can maintain with being bombarded by the senses. One who's undisturbed by the incessant flow of desire, we can achieve the peace. But here it says, in all activities, just depend upon me. So here we're talking about no one can protect a person. He says, one should therefore seek the protection of the Supreme Lord. He says, so just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. So, of course, in that protection, it means you're doing it for Krishna. And because you're doing it for Krishna, he's going to be, he takes that responsibility for you. When Prabhupada would say, you do something for yourself, it's at your own risk. Who can protect you when you're doing that? But if you're doing it for Krishna, just like if a policeman's walking down the street with a uniform on, someone looks at him, they don't think of him as a person. They think of him as the whole police force is behind him. You mess with him, he's got the whole police force behind him. So a devotee, he has Krishna behind him. He's connected. As long as he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, as long as the policeman is doing his duty and he's not off duty, out of doing some crazy nonsense, then he'll be treated pretty much like anyone else. So then the next verse says, if you do become conscious of me, you'll pass over all the obstacles in additional life by my grace. So just like in this verse, it said, there's two things. Vidura wanted to point out to Dhritarasa, everyone has to protect himself by his action. You have to stay properly situated. All activities just depend upon me. Work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. So there's how we're supposed to be, our action, devotional service, bhakti yoga, and the grace of the Lord. So here it says, if you become conscious of me, just like the last verse, fully conscious of me, you'll pass over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. If, however, you don't work in such consciousness through the false ego, not hearing me, you'll be lost. And then the next verse was the one I was getting to. If you do not act according to my direction and do not fight, then you'll be falsely directed. So this is what happens when you're inattentive, then you make that mistake. You're inattentive, then you're an illusion, you make mistakes, and you're cheated. So it says, then you'll be falsely directed. By your nature, you'll be engaged in warfare. So we're in a precarious condition that we're souls embodied with senses, a mind, intelligence, and the false ego now is being challenged because for the first time in eternity, practically, we're getting the intelligence from Krishna to be able to separate the false ego from the real ego, understanding our marginal position as Tathashta Shakti, being partway, either can go towards the external energy or the internal energy. I asked one nice brahmachari that around here a lot, now he's in Gainesville, but he travels a lot, Krishna Kripa. I asked him about that 270 verse. How does he deal with the incessant flow of desires and not become distracted by them? And he says, I say to my mind, been there, done that. So he's learned. And so in this particular verse, he says, by your nature, you'll still be engaged. So there's a fine line. That's what we're looking at, this razor's edge, that you're going to be doing almost the exact same thing, one way or the other. It's just this doing it with the correct consciousness. This is the sambandha jnana, this knowledge of our relationship. And that's what gets covered by the inattention. That's what gets covered by the false ego. That's what separates us from our constant connection with Krishna. saying, so you'll be, you'll still be engaged. So the next verse is under illusion. So as soon as you're, have you heard my instructions clearly? If you haven't, you're going to be inattentive. From hearing, you're going to be in illusion. So he says, under illusion, you're now declining to act according to my direction. But compelled by the work born of your nature, you will act all the same. So it's not a question that you're going to do something different. You're going, the activity may appear the same, but the consciousness is changing. Like Prabhupada, they would say, there's no need to change anything except your consciousness. And then, of course, the next verse, he's pointing out that Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities, are seated on a machine made of material energy. So just like we're thinking, I'm in control, I'm doing so many things, I'm going to change, but it's, everything is directed by Krishna. If you went into a hospital, how many people in the hospital that are admitted, that are in the, aren't under a doctor's care? Everybody's under the doctor's care there. And if you go in and you start thinking, this one person I see says he can't have any sugar, can't have any salt, can't have any ghee, can't have anything good to eat. So he must be very unhappy about that. Let me immediately bring him a nice feast plate. Everybody's probably had some feast in the last couple of days. And maybe some of us still can digest some of it. So if you go to these persons and you give them something so nice, and just as you're giving this nice big plate of all this fried foods and wonderful prasadam, the doctor walks in and he sees what you're doing. What do you think he's going to say? Oh, this is very good. He's going to say, he's under my care, and maybe you're not aware of his specific condition right this moment. He would certainly like to eat that, but right now it causes him great distress. It might even kill him. So we have to be on, unless, of course, you're a trained doctor, and then you would adjust things correctly. So everybody's under Krishna's direction. He's in everyone's heart that's on the battlefield. He's already shown Arjuna how he's taking care of everybody. So maybe he should take care of himself first, you know. And he asks them, you know, in a little bit, is your illusion gone? So have you heard this? What did he say? I think it's towards the end. Yeah, oh, it's text 72. O son of Pritha, O conqueror of wealth, have you heard this with an attentive mind? Are your ignorance and illusions now dispelled? So, hearing attentively, again, he said, have you heard this attentively? And if you have, is your illusion now dispelled? So, if his illusion is dispelled, he comes out of the sensual senses, fruit of activities, bodily conception of life. His connection once again is fixed on Krishna, and he's prepared. He now sees. He's got that vision restored to him. He's got that internal connection made once again. He's been reset, so to speak, the little reset button that you have when things go off. So if you're inattentive, we're flying our own plane. How can anybody help us at the time of death? Of course, we understand, of course, that they're speaking in a general way. For devotees, we just remind each other of Krishna. And that's the best friend we can do. So I'm going to observe the clock today. It's 2:15, and I can stop for questions. I can, because a lot of times the questions at the end are like little mini istagoshis where originally that meant discussing of philosophical points, but I was specifically noticing how pride makes a disconnect, and once you become disconnected, you can't remember correctly that connection to always stay connected to Krishna, and when you do, you see every one of these instructions Krishna gives us at every moment through so many, the 24 gurus, 26 gurus, Bhagavatam class, everybody is just there to increase our connection internally, like humility.
Okay, Prabhu, if anybody has anything that they would like to add or any questions for Madan Mohan Prabhu, now is the time.
Madan Prabhu, as always, a lovely class. I apologize. I got cut off. I think I was not muted, and Ramananda gave me the hook there temporarily. And you were saying something really interesting, and I missed it. Achyutananda asked Prabhupada, or Prabhupada said, what is the difference between, how do you know the difference between the intelligence and the mind? Or I got cut off there, and I was like dying to know what you said, and I missed it. What was that? I can barely hear.
Oh, that's strange. Let's see.
He's speaking.
He maybe needs to redial. Just disappear.
Uh-oh. Okay.
He probably gonna be redialing. You know, he has that problem. Fading.
Actually, in the meantime, someone else could answer that question that heard what Madan said.
I forgot.
It sounded like it was something interesting. I mean, everything's interesting, but that particular ice.
Madan, are you there?
I'm back now.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
All right.
I'm back then.
Could you repeat your answer to the question?
When you go to a tall building and you're looking over and you're looking down and you see it, you know, it's like 50 stories down. Can you picture that?
Yeah, it kind of gives me the willies.
All right. Well, he says your mind may say jump. He says, and your intelligence says don't jump. That's what Prabhupada said.
Okay, my mind would definitely not say jump, but I can definitely think of a lot of other good cases where if I look at the form of a beautiful woman, I know what my mind will say and what my intelligence will say in that particular
same
case.
Thing. The mind may say jump into this situation, and the intelligence says don't jump into this situation. So, yeah, that is the same result there, yeah. So the idea is, he was old, Dhritarashtra was old, everybody was already dead. So what was he really living for? What was his reason for continuing this life when he had such good association? Vidura is pointing this all out very heavily because the sadhu he has to cut, and we can't hear because of... you know, if you ever talk to somebody who already knows, like a nice Bible thumper Christian, you say anything to him, like, how can you say that God sent you to hell forever? That doesn't make sense. That's not a loving thing to do to anybody. There's no way to ever come out. They can't hear it. When they say the only way, what does he think he was referring to? He says that you have to follow a pure devotee. The path of devotion is the only way. But yet, when you get people who already know, they're not rational anymore. So he had to speak so strongly to break through that. How many times, if you don't have good devotee association, people think, well, it'll be all right. It'll pass in a little while. You'll be fine. Somebody's, you know, got both arms blown off in the war, and they come up to him, so you'll be all right. Everything's okay. You know? So people have a tendency to do that. They don't give you the straight information that you've wasted your life. It's already gone. Everything you were attached to, your children are gone, your parents are gone, your brother's gone. All your well-wishers are gone. What are you doing? You're living like a dog. He was very strong. to get them to reconnect. Okay, I'm going to reconnect. Just like for us, we get, it's a tendency to make things comfortable that we have to. That's just the way our nature is, that we get things so comfortable. But if we lose that edge of always remembering Krishna, never forgetting Krishna, that and that connection is made, we can see these distractions, and sometimes you can't get out of them. You just build yourself a cocoon where you just weave yourself tighter and tighter into so many things, and then you look around, I'm in my 60s. When is this supposed to take place? My 70s, 80s, when am I going to do this? And we find, I think, Dhritarashtra, he just left. He left in the middle of the night. He didn't tell anybody. Because who are you going to tell? What are they going to, the fallibles, distraction soldiers are going to say to you? Oh, don't do that. You know, you're so old. It's going to be hard out there. What are they going to say? So once you have that determination where you're seeing this is a life and death situation, and everybody except those sadhus were going to give me bad advice. They just can't help themselves. They're part of under the influence of the material energy, and their material energy will just use them very successfully against us. So when one becomes a devotee, he becomes indifferent to everything that the fruited workers tell to him. He's indifferent to everything. You know, you could enjoy this, you could be comfortable. So there's a certain type of connection that Krishna gives the intelligence. As long as you ask for that protection, he gives it to you. Some conscious. Mm. Is that all right? I know that wasn't your question.
It's a good one. Well, it's nectar anyway.
Well, the thing is, we're all getting old, and these things are relevant to us to some degree. And if you ever notice how quickly, if you come up with some sort of a renunciation plan or a plan to preach, how quickly the mind jumps out and gives you 100 reasons why it doesn't apply to me. It's not something for me to do. And Prabhupada, sometimes he would point out that, he says, Krishna will say one thing, but and they said, well, you're the external representation of the super soul. What's the difference? So Prabhupada, I think this is also another Chutananda thing he said. He reached over and he grabbed the devotee's ear and he dragged him. And he says, the super soul won't do this, but I will. And he grabbed him by the ear and yanked him. So where is that now for us? You know, who's going to yank us out of the cocoons of our comfortable Krishna conscious life that we're having to make because of our nature? Anyway, it's a little scary, and just trying to, you know, hear it myself. All right, Ramananda, we're getting close.
Well, I was just wondering, when you come across people that are very close to dying, I mean, in old age, it's very hard to preach to them because not only they're set in their ways, but also they're just, gosh, so bewildered by then. It's really kind of hard. Any advice for
you think of that verse by Prahlad Maharaj? He has a couple different ones, of course, but he had one about how we spend our life, isn't it? That your first, you sleep 50% of your life, 10%, well, 10 years you're a kid, which you don't even know anything, basically. You're just trying to figure out what's going on. Then you're a teenager and your senses become like whirlpools. Then if you listen to them, you're probably entangled in a household situation where you're very busy trying to accumulate with the Hriya Granthi. It's a labyrinth knot. Prabhupada gave this lecture on my initiation. So I remember from time to time, he says, the first knot is just some attraction to the opposite gender, or maybe nowadays, anyway. And then he says, but then you're going to need a place, an apartment. So then you get an apartment, like the yogi with the pair of kopins. And then when you have the apartment, you're going to need furniture, you're going to need a job, and then if you get a job and you get nice furniture, you got the new latest gadgets, you're going to invite friends, society over, and all the time you're becoming more externally implicated, angled into the material energy. So, Prabhupada said, from the time you understand the urgency, you should pick it up. And as far as with old people, prasadam is very nice. And, you know, there's different, every individual case is different. But sometimes they can say chant Hare Krishna. We all have different experiences with success and failures with old people. But the fact that you make an endeavor, that's successful in itself. And you can read to them. They have a lot of different programs. This Punya Shravanam Kirtanam, this hearing process, if they do any devotional service, even a little bit of devotional service can protect one from the greatest fear. So at the time of death, whatever, we don't know what kind of Punya they had, just to have the association of devotee come by, give them prasadam, preach to them, give them some, depending on, you know, it's a vague way that you stated the question, so I can't tell if they're like got one foot in the coroner's office or they still have a little bit of time left. But Prabhupada also, when they would say, who knows who, we're all old, because old means someone who's about to die, and none of us know. Maharaj Prickett knew he had a week, but we don't even know that. When you were out there surfing, having a wonderful time, got all busted up, it could have just been a little bit different, and it could have been worse. You know, when it hit your shoulder blades, I think. But suppose it was up about another 8 inches and hit, was it number 5 or something like that? There's all kinds of things that can happen, and who knows? I was working once with Haripat. He was making this beautiful altars, wonderful artist. And he's cutting on a table saw, making a piece in there. And I hear a little bump, and I don't think anything of it. And then he says, Madan, could you give me a ride? I says, sure, where you want to go? He says, can you take me to the hospital and pick up my thumb? It's on the table there. Cut his thumb off. And he was not so much upset. He was bewildered how just this morning he came to work like every other day. He's just doing things. And then in a split second, all of a sudden, his thumb's sitting on a table. And it was just how time works. One moment, everybody always says when someone dies, I just saw him yesterday. We were just talking last week. You know, it's like the urgency and the complacency, this is definitely one of the fields that Maya can work on. Suppose we knew if we only had 24 hours or we had 7 days, will we do anything different than we're doing now? What do you think, Ramananda?
Definitely.
Really?
Change
well, now if we look at it that way, we could revamp some of those things. Suppose every day we said, okay, what is the best thing to do if I don't know if I'm going to finish this day? So the fact we don't do that means, just remembered a conversation once, I think it was Rameshwar, he asked Prabhupada about this, the Third World War. There was some talk of that. And they said, Prabhupada, if they start dropping bombs, what will happen to us? Do you remember what he said?
To Chant Hare Krishna?
Well, that's what you would think, yes. But he at this particular time, he said, you'll die. And it's kind of a shock sometimes because you don't ever think you're going to die. So then Prabhupada pointed out, he says, there's a difference between someone who accepts they're going to die and someone who doesn't. He says, a learned person accepts, I'm either going to die today or maybe tomorrow or a day after that. But he's accepted that I'm going to die, and he lives his life understanding he's going to die. And he has, where they say, he put his put everything in order? Did you put yourself in order with God when someone's getting ready to die? They said, you got everything figured out. So, and he says, and someone else who can hear that, they think, I'm never going to die. So when you say, we're going to do something different today than we were going to do if we were going to die, that means we're influenced like that. How much are we influenced like that? And what will that day be when it'll change? We're going to need a certain set of circumstances. But how many people do we see have those circumstances? They just, Indra, is it? The devotee who chants all the time in Vrindavan. He just went to light his heater and it blew up. That was it. So 1 second before he lit the match or whatever it was just another day. And then the next second, he was out of his body. So who knows that one little situation. I think of that just the other day. I was starting something and there was some gasoline around it. And I was thinking, boy, a little bit of spark. If I don't know what concentration it has to be to hit a volatile explosion. But I thought about it. I said, am I ready right now? You know, how many times before you do something today, you may be able to say, if somebody just went through that red light, I'd be dead. You know, if this one tire blew out, this devotee was driving down the street and one of the tires blew out on the back of their van. It was a defective recall and they didn't get to this person yet. And the car flipped over. She had a son that was riding in the back of the van. He went out of the van, got killed, and everybody else, there was a lot of different things that happened. The car was totaled. They were on vacation, having a good time, just driving down the street, and all of a sudden, bang, tire blows out, thing rolls over, her son's dead, or the husband, somehow or other, she blamed him. They got divorced there, and the whole place just all went in just a second. So this world,
that's a powerful example.
From number?
Yes.
What's happening? This is Madan Mohan.
Madan, can you still hear us? He was there a second ago.
Yeah, and it's that's what the sound comes in and then he disappears.
But he's still on.
He's still on?
Oh, no. He just came off, went off. Well, let's give him a minute to come back on. Oh, there he goes.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, can you hear us? Sorry.
I'll try something else again. I can't tell when I disappear. I can still hear you the same.
Oh, I see.
Now
you have to just tell me.
Okay, so thank you, Prabhu. Is there anything anyone else would like to add?
I'd just like to add a thank you to Madan for his association.
Thank you, Madan Mohan.
I wanted to thank you, Prabhu, for this, like always, in-depth explanations that put us on the edge and remind us, you know. I really appreciate that. It's the hardest topic, I think, you know. It's really hard to, every moment, to be conscious of the time, but because the whole illusion is working against that. So, but I really appreciate how your examples are.
When you really try to chant constantly, Kirtanya Sadahari, then you see where all these verses from the Bhagavad Gita, each one of them becomes a dynamically alive instruction to help you keep that edge. But if you just kind of like accepted it, then we can memorize them, we can repeat them. But where the rubber meets the road is you can't stop at any moment thinking about Krishna, and it's actually not difficult. And of course, as I point out, those nutshell verses were originally spoken because Lord Brahma didn't want to lose that connection. And we see he had a couple problems too with that, chapter 13, 14 attempts can't, because that pride immediately disconnects the stand. What does that feel like when you disconnect and you're covered, and you're covered with the intoxicant that
all right.
Can that. I don't know if you can hear us, but we're just losing it here. We lost him. Okay.
It's like somebody's interfering. But he's coming back. Hare Krishna.
All right. I guess it's over now anyway.
Yeah,
thank you.
End up losing. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Very much.
All glories to Prabhupada.
All glories to Prabhupada.
Hare Prabhupada.
Hare Prabhupada.
Hare
Haribo.
Haribo. Haribo.
Ramananda, you still there?
Yuga Harappa is here. Yeah.
Gonna try the chanting.